All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of Classic Celtics. Now we're going to dive in to 1986, round one, Bulls, Celtics, and the legendary game by Michael Jordan. And what better guest to bring in than Danny Ainge. Danny, first of all, how you been during this whole time and what have you been up to?
I'm getting ready for the draft. As you can see, I'm here at the practice facility at my office, and I'm the only one that's been here for like 2 weeks. I guess I'm the only one where my key card works because I'm not quarantined. I haven't had any contact with our team since the 1st or 2nd of March. But I'm doing good, getting ready for the draft, free agency, communicating with the players and coaches and staff members.
Good. Okay, so let's get into this. After game one of this series, and I know this was 34 years ago, Jordan had 49 points. So going into like game two, a lot of focus on shoot around and how to stop him. What was the game plan going in?
Scout, this is 34 years ago, and you're asking me about a shoot around? You know how many important games I've been around and played in? 34 years ago, and you want me to tell you the game plan against Michael Jordan? Okay, I'll do the best I can.
Well, he just, Danny, he did have 49 against you after round one, so.
Right, and he had 65 games off during the season, so he was really, really fresh. And on top of that, he's the best player of all time. But other than that, you know, what we really wanted to do was we played a lot of different defenses against him. Not complicated. We doubled him on occasion when he got the ball in certain positions. But for the most part, we went under screens. We wanted to concede jump shots. We did have respect. I mean, Orlando Woldridge was a much, much underrated player historically, but especially in that year, he had a fantastic year. And he went at us pretty much every game we played against him that season and had a great deal of respect for him. Charles Oakley is a monster on the offensive boards, as we all know, throughout his career. And they had good shooters, and Kyle Macy and Paxson. And, you know, we couldn't just let Michael be a playmaker. So we wanted Michael to shoot a lot of jump shots. And he wasn't known as a great jump shooter. He was a good jump shooter, but he lived at getting to the free throw line and getting to the rim.
All right. So I want to take a look. I love going back and looking at some of these legendary games because I want to see how this thing unfolds. Let's take a look at the first quarter. I'm pretty excited about it. But kind of underwhelming quarter both ways. Jordan did have 13, and you're right. He kept attacking the basket. What do you think overall just about the game so far?
I thought we were sluggish. You know, like obviously Larry is our big leader of our team, and I just didn't think that he had his game. And I thought that our whole team was not into it. And that was a little bit frustrating because we just beat them by 20 in game one. And we didn't come out with the urgency that we gave them some confidence after the first quarter.
And you guys only lost one game to the Portland Trailblazers at home. Did this have sort of the same feel to that game?
Yeah, I think we were just a little bit lethargic. I mean, it wasn't the only games. I mean, our team was talented enough to still win when we were lethargic. But, you know, Chicago had nothing to lose. I mean, Michael had missed 65 games during the season with a foot injury. And, you know, he was fresh. And it was like they had nothing to lose. Nobody expected them to win one game against the Boston Celtics that year. And I think you could see that, particularly in the first half of this game.
All right, so now we're going to watch the second and third and come back. Because this game did go into overtime, and we'll watch the next two quarters and see what Danny remembers from that. All right, at this point, Jordan has 36 points, and you could start to feel, well, first of all, he was getting to the rim and getting to the free throw line at ease. At this point, Danny, Jordan missed 65 games this season. What was this new to you? Did you guys know what he was capable of during this time?
Well, we knew he was a great player. I mean, he was rookie of the year as a rookie the year before, and everybody knew Michael's athleticism and talents. I think this was a coming out party, a little bit maybe like what Jason Tatum had, you know, after the All-Star game this year of this long stretch. I think that this 63-point game and 49 back-to-back games was a coming out party maybe for Michael as, wow, this guy is really, really special player. And, but we knew going in that he was extremely talented.
Now, you guys had a couple of days off in between. Is it true that you played some golf with Michael? And what was your relationship with Michael Jordan before this series?
Well, Michael, as you know, is one competitive son of a gun. And but I did. And I think this is the only time in my career that I ever even had dinner, lunch, did anything with an opponent throughout my whole career, especially in the playoffs. But with Michael, Michael loved golf and I loved golf. And he reached out and wanted to know where he could find a golf course and maybe get on a golf course to play in Boston on their two off days. So we think we arranged to play 36 at Framingham Country Club.
Now, he had 49 and you had your fair share of chances to guard him. At this point, it wasn't just you. At this point, DJ had his chances, but that's coming. Did you guys have a little trash talk about golf and basketball?
No, but, you know, I knew that – I know how competitive he is. And I knew when he got it rolling, I thought, man, maybe I shouldn't have played golf with him yesterday. But, you know, he was just a – he was a great player. He would have been motivated either way. You know, fast forward to the Dream Team and Michael, I remember playing 36 holes with him on the day of exhibition games by the Dream Team in Portland, Oregon. And he played 36 holes of golf and then went out and scored 35 points and pressured the guy he was guarding the entire day. And it was like 100 degrees outside or 95 degrees outside in Oregon when we were playing golf. I mean, Michael had, you know, an amazing motor and incredible stamina as well.
Yeah, when you see a guy like that, did you realize at this time that he is arguably going to be the greatest player to ever play?
I don't think it was a little bit early for that, but I think you could argue that he's one of the top few players in the NBA.
All right, so we're going to get into the fourth quarter. This is where Danny Ainge gets to the job of stopping Michael Jordan with everyone fouling out. It's just Danny with five fouls trying to stop Jordan. Let's take a look.
Hey there, it's Tom Haberstroh, your national NBA insider for NBC Sports and host of the Haberstroh Podcast. What's it like to be in a coronavirus lockdown in Milan, Italy right now? My guest this week is there right now, pro basketball player Michael Roll, who starred at UCLA, played in three Final Fours, and is now with Olympia Milano. He explains what life has been like in Italy while he and his wife are expecting their first child in early May. So to hear all about that, go download The Haberstroh wherever you listen to podcasts.
Man, like, okay, we got to get into this because I know MJ is great. I think he's the greatest player to ever play. But man, this is 1986. The game was ultra physical, but he kept getting to the free throw line. And how about that foul on Kevin McHale? I'm not even sure he touched him. And Jordan makes two big free throws to go to overtime. Danny, at this point, Kevin McHale fouled out. What are you guys thinking on the bench?
We're all thinking it's a pretty weak call. That was what we were thinking. We were right in step with Tommy Heinsohn on that one. But, you know, like that's a 2020 call. That's not a 1986 call. Like you got touched by, you know, shooting 3-point shots, or if somebody didn't hit your arm, your shooting arm, like they didn't really call much there. And I think Kevin said that they grabbed, you know, that Michael grabbed him as he went by. But, you know, I think it was a questionable call at best.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Yeah, level of confidence. I know you guys were a very confident team, but DJ fouled out. Kevin McHale fouled out. You guys have you still thinking like we got to take care of these guys?
Kevin fouled out of that game. I didn't realize. I know Walton fouled out, and I know DJ fouled out. I mean, listen, I don't remember that many fouls, even just in regulation. Forget about the overtimes. But our entire starting five was in serious foul trouble. I don't remember that ever happening ever before or again.
Yeah. Was Michael, was he standard for attacking the rim in at that era, or was he just different when it comes to going to the basket?
No, he's different. I mean, like he was like Dr. J going to the basket, you know, and he shot the ball, you know, much better than that. I mean, he was a terrific shooter. He was becoming a really good shooter. Much better shooter than he was as a youngster. But, yeah, he was special. I mean, his hand size, his length, and his athleticism were ridiculous.
All right, let's get into overtime one. Once again, Danny Ainge having to guard Michael Jordan as in the Boston Garden. All right, well, one overtime down. And, Danny, man, tough drive with your left hand getting to the basket. And then walk us through what was supposed to happen on that shot with MJ. He back-rimmed it, but he had a clean look.
Yeah, you know, he ran a little flare screen and it looked to me like Kevin was going to get to Michael quicker than I could. So I veered back on his man and thought Kevin was going to close out on him. He had a much cleaner look than we would all have liked to see him get. Although, you know, long two jump shots is what we were hoping that we could force Michael into all day. But as hot as he was and as good a game as he was having, that certainly isn't the shot we wanted.
Yeah, his ability to drive, hang in the air, and sort of maneuver his body, it seemed that was different amongst a bunch of, like, a really great team. You have this great individual player. I mean, a guy who continues to attack like that, how do you stay out of foul trouble?
Well, you know, we did some switching that got us – that created some fouls for our big guys, although I remember the funny story was Walton just cursing up a storm when he fouled out because he was so mad. Like, why can't you blankety blank guards guard your own man? Why do I have to switch out on him? But when we were watching, it must have been in 2011, we were watching the game that I remembered. I think he only committed one foul on Michael. I think the other ones were all on other guys, Orlando Wooldridge and Sidney Green and the rest of the crew.
All right, let's watch double overtime here. 1986, Jordan going for 63. Man, what a game, Danny. So afterwards, the guy, Jordan drops 49 on you the first game. He comes into the Garden in double overtime, drops 63. Were you guys like, man, I haven't seen anything like this before?
Yeah, he was pretty impressive, no doubt about it. I mean, 63 in a double overtime. It was a 58-minute game, but, I mean, he still had 54 in regulation. And I think that, we were all very, very impressed with Michael. But at the same time, like, I think our guys were really frustrated with how we played. Mm-hmm. We had big aspirations that year, and that was a good little wake-up call. Like, we can't just show up to play. We got to show up. Everyone's coming after us. And we played much better in Chicago in game three than we did in game two. And our offense didn't sputter quite as much. But Michael was very, very special. We all knew it. We all knew it after that game. And, 34 years later, he's still being considered the greatest player of all time.
So, Dan, I want to get into this. When I'm watching this game, even late in the game, so you have the defensive assignment of Jordan, but you're pushing the basketball up the floor. Sometimes you're the first guy up with the ball. Like, was your conditioning at a different level? Did you not get tired? You were playing a bunch of minutes?
I think that was a strength of my game, Scal, was conditioning. I preach that to my players here all the time. I feel like, I didn't even score, I don't think, in the first half of this game. And I played a lot of minutes in the first half, so 17 minutes or something. But I think I played 31 or 32 of the final 34 minutes of that game, most of it in foul trouble and a lot of it guarding Michael. And I still scored 24 points in the not even the second half, but the second from the third quarter to the end of the game. And I think a lot of that was just because Parrish was in foul trouble, DJ was in foul trouble, and, you know, I just had more opportunities to be aggressive and to score. Where, as you watch that game, you can see our game plan is obviously get the ball to Larry first, Kevin second, and Robert third. And, you know, those guys were such dominant interior players.
And then going on in game three, you guys really – just put the screws on Chicago. And obviously the rest is history with the 86 Celtics. So this is a good example of a, like one of the greatest teams to ever play versus the, arguably the greatest player to ever play. It's hard that we don't get a lot of these opportunities very often when you look back in the time of the history of basketball.
Yeah, that was an exciting time because it was an awakening, an unveiling of Michael Jordan, this very special player, 63 points at the Boston Garden, where the team ended up being 50-1. That just even is a more special game of 63 points, the most by a Celtic opponent in history in playoffs. So I think that that's the unveiling of him, but also our team was very special. We were able to withstand that. And even though we were in foul trouble the whole game and we had a very subpar shooting game, we were still able to find a way to win.
All right. Well, that is 1986. That is the historic game of Michael Jordan. Danny, thank you for stopping by. I know you got a ton of stuff to do right now, breaking down all the film for these new draft picks. But once again, we really appreciate you coming by.
All right, Scal. My pleasure.